Very common lawn decorations as peace on earth. Haven't been by BSA lately, but that used to be peace on earth over their main entrance every December. Of course, the angel, probably Gabriel, unnamed, but he talked to Mary, but the angel said to the shepherds, peace on earth. Very common in the Bible. Very common even on the news in a different direction. Well-known Hebrew word, shalom, 500 times. Peace, peace, peace. The blessing of the high priest, and may God be gracious and give you peace. Shalom halakim, that's how they say hi, still do, say hi that way. Peace to you, 500 times, 90 times in the New Testament. We'll know it, we don't say it very often, but Irene is where it comes from. So anyone named Irene, that means peace. Putting them together, it's nearly 600 times in the Bible. The shepherd said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Of course, that's the best known out of the King James. Newer translations, peace with whom he is well favored. Peace to those that have his favor. Peace to those that get his grace. Now, this will be a positive sermon on how to get peace. I don't want to spend too much time on the negative, but it's not giving peace to everybody. Peace to those on whom he is pleased. Peace to those who have his favor. It's not really peace to everybody. Peace to those that are right with God. Or they will be right with God because God foreknows that over time they will become believers and be right with God. So all the newer translations correctly modify it so it's not everybody in the world will have peace. The actual blessing is peace to those who, with whom God is pleased. Peace to those who obtain his favor. Here are the newer translation, some examples, NIV, peace on whom his favor rests. The English Standard Version, peace on earth among those he is well pleased. The Net Bible is both printed and on the internet, but the Net Bible really tried, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among people, which is true, men and women, you got to make that clear, anthropos, peace among those with whom he is well pleased. And then the Net Bible puts a footnote, those who are marked out by God as the object of his special favor. It is not a reference to every single person, so the phrase should not be translated goodwill to all people. That is actually true. It is the Savior is coming, and he can bring peace with God, and he can bring the peace of God, and it will go upon those who want his favor, those who want his grace. So it is somewhat limited to believers and those who have a potential for faith, and God foreknows they will become believers. Now, I can agree that we want as much international peace and lack of wars as possible, but it's not really promising that. Quite a few times in the Bible, Jesus would say, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, and a man's enemies will be of his own household. He will cause divisions. So it isn't really international peace. I think it's good to have as much of that as possible. But it's not peace upon 100% of humanity either. It's upon those with whom he is pleased, those who accept his favor. The message is the Savior will bring an opportunity to have peace with God for those that want peace with God. So it's easy to see that peace on earth doesn't refer to international peace directly. And not everybody has peace with God. Some of them are still fighting him. Some of them are still at strife with him. And that's kind of the Old Testament definition of shalom also. Peace with God in that it is a restored relationship and peace on the inside. And when they wish peace to others, they're actually often in the Bible offering peace on the inside. Now, the word shalom is related to completeness or fullness. Maybe a good word is settled. When a project is done, if it's all over with, it's settled. So something is completely done. On the other hand, we can talk about a settled disposition too. Complete settlement with God, a restored relationship. And two-thirds of the time in the Old Testament, peace refers to a restored relationship with God. It can refer to battles ending and a restored relationship between nations. But two-thirds of the time, it's a person is restored to a relationship with God. The spiritual war is ended. And the offer of the offer to the world by the Christmas angel is that anybody who wants a restored relationship with God, a settled, peaceful relationship with God, can have it. Psalm 85:8, He, God, will speak peace to his people. Part of the definition of peace concerns a reference to Solomon. Solomon is related to Shalom. And God told David, you will have a son in his time. There will be peace in the sense of no more battle. But 1 Chronicles 22, 9 and 10 also has rest twice in the verse. Your son will have rest related to peace. Rest in the country, rest in the international relationships, but also rest. And the phrase peace and quiet actually comes from a reference to Solomon. So it'd be good to consider how to get some peace. 13 points is way too many to do in this service. So I didn't plan on doing too much other than making references to some of these. Trying to categorize peace in the Bible. The first view, we can go very fast because our message today is how to have peace. And the first view is how not to have peace. So we won't spend much time on that. Satan obviously gives no peace. Romans 16:20, it says, the God of peace, interesting phrase for the complete sentence, the God of peace will crush Satan shortly under your feet. So God is peace, Satan is the opposite, and then the full verse is the unpeaceful Satan, he's going to end some of these days, but for the time being, there is no peace. He wants strife. He wants fighting, particularly with God, but then unpeaceful in every relationship. James 3, 14 through 18 talks about the wisdom from below. And the wisdom from below is full of disorder and every evil work. And it's full of jealousy and selfish ambition. Satan does not want peace. Related as Isaiah 57, 21, there is no peace, says my God to the wicked. So starts with Satan, but it goes to the world and it goes to unsaved people. Not any lasting inner peace. No peace with God and not peace on the inside, and it won't settle down. Completely done, completely finished, settled. It won't settle down ever. God gives a settling down. Number two. The positive part, well, Jesus offered us peace, but he says, not as the world gives it, give I unto you. That's John 14 and John 16. And the point being here, the world will talk about giving peace, but it won't. They'll just talk about it, but it won't. Later we'll see it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, but our point here is that he won't get it from Satan, number one, won't get it from the world. We've already mentioned that Jesus said that he did not come to bring international peace. As much of it as possible, very good. Number four, just to be inclusive, it said in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is a God of peace, and let all things be done decently and in order. There are varieties of church services, but it should be relatively orderly. It shouldn't be confusion. God is not the author of confusion. It should be somewhat peaceful. Well, those are the negative ones. Now we get over to the positive ones. God is the source of peace. And let me just read you about that. Twice in Romans, he's called the God of peace. And once in Hebrews, he's called the God of peace. Satan gives no peace. God gives us a way to be settled down, completed, a complete and mended reconciliation and peace with himself. We can call it the gospel of peace, and for that, will you please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll see the references to the gospel of peace, peace with God, several times in Ephesians chapter 2, and while you are finding it, I will read other references to the gospel of peace. Finding Ephesians 2 in Acts 10:36, Peter is going to evangelize the first Roman, I don't know that we'd say colonel or captain, Cornelius, who technically was not Jewish in terms of keeping all the rituals. He's still Roman. Now, he did believe in the existence of God and called him devout already, but Peter went to his house, and in Acts 10:36, the word which God sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to tell Cornelius that everyone who believes in him is forgiven. So the first Gentile, non-Jewish believer, Peter says it is a gospel of peace. Peace with God, but also peace with other people. And so when there's peace on earth, for those who believe, can be peace with God, but peace with other people, often with whom we wouldn't normally get along with if we were all unbelievers. And we'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 13, and we'll find the word peace used over and over again, and find the idea of being near to God and being peaceful, but also being closer to other people. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, there's our word again, thus establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both into one body in God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And then they're both together having access to God. Earlier, there will be no peace from evil. They won't settle down. They're not going to settle down. They're going to have strife. They're going to have disorder. And there are going to be all kinds of people that don't get along. The Lord Jesus Christ brought peace with God by trusting in God and coming near to God, and he will bring peace to other groups. The reference here is to a dividing wall. The dividing wall in Ephesians 2 would separate, Ephesians 2:14 would separate Jews and Gentiles. Archaeologists have found two of them. There were signs that said Gentiles cannot go any further. If you're not Jewish, you can't go any further. You can't come any closer to the presence of God. That's the way the temple was. Paul's reference to here is that both types of groups, all the ethnic groups, can have peace with God by drawing near through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore can have peace with one another. So the gospel of peace is first peace with God. The war is done when we trust in Jesus as Savior, but also more peace with each other. The next verse, it's number 7, will be Romans 5 and Colossians 1. So please turn to those references to peace. Both of these verses say peace with God, and our thought today would be when? When is there peace with God? When? And Romans 5:1, we will begin reading, and it will put it in the past tense. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was worth 5 years of Greek learning that. Past tense. Now, a lot of translations don't put it in the past tense. They will say being, in the process of being justified by faith, let us have peace with God. That's the King James, actually, and it is the Douay Rheims or the Catholic version. Again, Catholics are a lot closer than non-Christian people. So just believing in the Trinity and the deity of Christ, that's a lot better than other false religions. On the other hand, their way of getting saved is a process. Got to work hard. Being justified by faith. And when I could read Greek, the first thing I did was check Romans 5:1 to see what tense it is. It's past tense. Absolutely, literally past tense, and there are no textual manuscripts. Having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. Right now. It's not a future process that we're working on. It's not something that maybe someday when we get to the judgment throne, God, the judge, will see if we've been good enough and pass. No, Romans 5:1 is past tense. Having been declared righteous by God the judge, we now have peace with God. Since peace also means completed, I thought I would add Colossians chapter 2:1-2. So I don't know whether you got to both of them, but Colossians 1:20 has the word peace, and then 2:10 will have the word completed. Colossians 1:20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace with God through the blood of the cross. And then he goes on to say, you have now been reconciled in verse 22. You have peace with God, and now... Chapter 2, verse 10, when do we have peace with God? Right now. Colossians 2:10, in him you have been made complete. That's the original thought of being peaceful. It's done. It's settled. The believer has been made complete. The believer has justification now. The believer has peace with God now. Right now. It's not like we're on the process and we might get it someday if we behave well enough. Having been declared righteous by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, Colossians 1:2, you have peace when you're already complete. is done. Before God the judge, you have it. You are settled. Say the law case is made a peace treaty. No condemnation. Now, looking more at our notes, we go on to number 8. The Son gives peace. We've already done this in the negative. The world can't give it. I'll give you peace, not as the world gives. The world will talk a lot about it. You'll hear a lot about it, but the world is full of strife and fighting, and it can't get along. It doesn't have peace with God or peace with each other. And not as the world gives, but number 8 is the positive part of the same verses. The Son of God will give you peace. Now, we just talked about peace with God in salvation, and now we move to the peace of God. Very often they're kind of classified in that way. Peace with God would mean at the time we trust in Jesus as Savior, it's settled. No more war. God the judge says uncondemned. We have peace with God in God's court. We have peace with God in that the war is ended when we trust in Jesus. But now the peace of God. And the Son says, I'll give it to you, not like the world gives. And perhaps one of the best verses on the peace of God would be Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So let's turn to that one, please. And I'll bet you will recognize it. And it's talking about how to have the peace of God. Peace with God is by trusting Jesus as Savior. The peace of God is on the inside. Believe me, we want both. It starts with getting peace with God by faith in Jesus, which believers already have. Now in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it'll talk about the peace of God, which is on the inside in our emotions. Already settled before God the judge, then peaceful and settled on the inside. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's our peace coming. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us to do whatever we can about our troubles. The Bible teaches us to work very, very hard. Then at the end of the day, go to bed. That's Psalm 127. We try to work on our troubles. We try to be excellent in everything we do, but Psalm 127, don't rise up early, don't stay up late. Psalm 37 says, fret not. So working very, very hard to get those problems done is right. Fretting and unpeaceful panic and anxiety is not right. At a certain point, we've done all we can do, and Psalm 127 says, go to bed. This verse says, give it to God, let your request be known to God. We might use a more modern term, transfer. Transfer the unsolvable problems to God. Do everything we can about them. Work hard. But at the end, go to bed at night. Have some peace. Transfer what cannot be fixed to God. And then it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Might be familiar with the King James keep. That does mean guard, though. The watchman would keep the city. It means he would guard the city. But it's not limited to that. It's also a reference to keeping sheep, for example, which would mean to protect them but care for them. So here, the peace of God will guard your hearts, both protect, but also care for your hearts. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Now may the God of peace himself give you peace in every circumstance. So peace with God is when we trust in Jesus as Savior. The peace of God is on the inside. And every believer has peace with God, but not every believer has the peace of God. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Some days we do, some days we don't. We're supposed to have it all the time, and our advice here is transfer. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He would say, roll a heavy load over, but I'm trying to use a more modern transfer. Okay, God, we've done everything we could about it. Transfer. Work hard all day. Okay, day's over with. Transfer. And be panicked or anxious for nothing. I think we do not need to turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You will remember the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Today's message is about peace. How do we get peace? Well, transfer all the troubles over to God and be rightly related to the Holy Spirit. Let me go a little bit deeper here. Practice the presence of God in life. When we trust in Jesus as Savior, the Spirit of Christ, add him in here, the Spirit of Christ is on the inside and around. As we go through, we should practice the presence of Christ in our life. He's on the inside and he's around. Despite all the difficulties, he's on the inside, he's around. Practice the presence of Christ at all times. With the hard do list, with the unsolvable problems, the fruit of the Spirit on the inside includes peace, not limited to peace, it includes peace. And since it's the Spirit of Christ, it's also true that part of the Christian living process is becoming more and more like Jesus. And I added that in here because do you know how often he would say peace? You know how often he would say to the storm, peace be still? He would send out the 70 and he would say to them, go tell them, peace be upon this house. He would say, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. He would go basically and knock on the door and he would say, peace. Inner completeness. And so the fruit of the Spirit is practicing the presence of God at all times. Among the list of Christ's virtues is peace. And he really was offering peace a lot. Trying to make the sermon shorter, another one was in the upper room. He came and Thomas was not present. He came and said, peace to you. And then he came back the next day when Thomas was there. He said, peace to you. So he wants us to have kind of a peace on the inside. Next, number 11, but next is not so much peace with God at salvation. The peace of God inside is getting along with other people. We're making a shorter outline. We just say number 3. Let's go ahead and look up Romans 12, although I think you'll have it memorized. Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all. Well, that gives the ideal. That gives the goal. If you can. If you can get along with, if we trust in Jesus as Savior, we have peace with God. Jesus wants to have the peace of God on the inside when we practice his presence and when we roll over all our problems or transfer what we cannot fix to him. The third category is getting along with other people, if possible. So it is true, some people are impossible. They are fussy. They cannot be pleased. We all know this. The goal would be, if possible, we'll get along. If not, well, we've done what we could. And I would put that under the category of Philippians 4, where do everything we can do, and at the end of the night, go to bed, sleep, try to have inner peace, roll it over, transfer. Sometimes it is not possible. That is the goal. That is the goal. Now we're getting near the end, and we should be able to most have peace with other Christians. Maybe not always, but let's look at Colossians 3:15 for our last verse for today. While you're finding Colossians 3:15, I will quote one of the other ones for us while you're on the way. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, we would say belt. It's talking about a person that's clothed, and fortunately, we men don't have to wear robes in 2019 or 20. And they would tie all their robes together with a bond, with a sash. So we'd say, tie everything together and put the belt on and do everything you can to be at peace with other people. Might not be possible, but do everything you can. And Colossians 3:15, you may have heard that one used before. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And what I think that means is that as you go through life, sometimes an option is not a moral matter. It's not a Bible teaching matter. And it's not ethical. You could do A or B. And either one would not be a sin. You can do A or B. If you have a choice, the one that makes people get along is the one you choose. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts means you have a choice, and it wouldn't be evil to do either way, but the one that makes people most peaceful, and it's not a sin either way, you choose that one. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts means do what you can and make the choices to get along whenever possible. Might not be, but whenever possible. Well, the shepherd said peace on earth, goodwill to those that have his favor. A lot of people have his favor. Some don't. Some people are going to get his favor by trusting in Jesus, but it begins with sending a Savior so that we can have peace. The first step is peace with God. Where does that come? Trusting in Jesus. Having been, past tense, declared righteous by God the Judge, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So all who have faith in Christ the Savior have peace with God the Judge. Beyond that, the peace of God. How do we feel on the inside? Can we have the peace of God? Well, we can't fix everything, and we should do what we can do. Let's call it concern. Not so much anxiety and panic, but let's call it concern. Do what we can do about it, but at the end, casting all your cares on Him. And at the end, Philippians 4, transfer. Transfer. God, we've done everything we can. We can't fix it yet. We've done everything we can. We can't finish it yet. Transfer. And then at the end of each day, say, I've done everything I could do today. Must be time to think about God above. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And stop thinking about fixing all the problems, is do what we can, transfer at the end. As far as peace with other people, a very important ideal, a very important goal. It might not be possible. Then you transfer that to God too, but when possible, we do it. 600 references to peace in the Bible, and we couldn't do every one of them, but God wants us to have peace with Him. He wants us to have the peace of Him on the inside. He wants us to get along with ever possible. Let's pray together.